Welcome to the Motorcycle Vagabond Show. Today we have Jeff. So how you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Z?
Oh, I'm doing well. You know, just working, oddly enough, for someone who doesn't have a job.
That's the best kind of job, right? Keep you busy.
So what kind of bike do you ride, and what are we going to be talking about with it today?
Well, I ride a 2016 Kawasaki. It's the Ninja Family ZX14, which is basically considered a sport touring bike, but it looks like a sport bike. You know, it's not your typical, it's not like the Kawasaki Concourse, which is a touring bike, but it's a little more sport side of it. So, yeah, I bought that 5 years ago and put 53,000 miles on it so far.
Wow.
It's been fun to ride. Yeah, it's fun to ride.
How's the reliability on it?
It's been solid. This is my ninth motorcycle, and all but one have been Kawasaki's. I've been riding them since the early 80s. In fact, this Ninja is my seventh or eighth Ninja. And the first one I bought, I actually have 1984 when they first came out. I bought the Kawasaki 900 Ninja. It's the one you see on the Top Gun movie, back in the early movie. Of course, that movie came out like 85 or 86, but yeah, so I've had Kawasaki's for a long time. They're very reliable. That's why I stuck with Kawasaki. And recently, with 54,000 miles, all I've done on that thing is change the oil and oil filter at regular intervals, about 3,000 to 4,000 miles. If I'm traveling, sometimes it may go up to 5,000. I have to change the sprocket and the chain every about 13,000, 14,000, 15,000 miles because they eventually stretch out of spec. Other than that, I've changed the plugs once and the air filter, and that's all I've ever done to it.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's very reliable, very solid. I have no fears of going long distance. When I went to Key West, Florida last summer, I just got on and took off, and, you know, it holds up very well.
So I'm looking at pictures of this bike, and I Googled it. It says it's in the Ninja Sport Bike series, and as of 2006, it was their most powerful sports bike. And it also looks like there's not really a lot of luggage options for it. How do you put your stuff on it?
Well, I do have a tank bag. With sport bikes, they usually, you can mount them a couple ways, but I have a tank bag that has magnets on it. So you basically just drop it on there, stick to the tank. And I also have a tail bag, which the tail bag covers about the rear area of the passenger seat, and it has straps that go underneath the seat because on sport bikes, the whole seat will come up. So I run the straps underneath and hold it down. I can carry luggage that way, but usually what I end up doing is I have a duffel bag that I just strap on the back seat. So I run straps underneath the seat, around over the top. I put a duffel bag, and I've carried a tank bag on, the tail bag on top of that. So I've had two bags stacked on the back, just strapped down with a couple of regular ratchet straps and a tank bag, and I've carried everything I needed just to go on a trip.
Do you camp, or are you mostly hotel to hotel?
Well, I haven't camped yet. Really, I basically, when I did the Key West, I went to Key West last summer. I was going on vacation. I wanted to go to Key West. My niece and her family were going too, so I kind of rode along with them. But when we got to Destin, I decided I wanted to go to Key West to get my picture at the Southern Continental USA marker. So I just left the bags on there, and I basically rode straight down and straight back without stopping except for gas.
Wow.
From Destin to Key West. So it was a long ride for about a day and a half. I think it was 32 hours and 1,600 miles.
And you didn't
sleep? I didn't.
You would have kept the receipts on that one. You may have gotten a IVA certificate.
Yeah, I thought about that. It just, you know, I was just trying to push to get through. It was one of those last-minute decisions. I've been wanting to go down to Key West, you know, just for that ride to get the picture. It was all about the picture, honestly. It was crazy. But I did, with BAB, I did look up some hosts along the way in Florida in case, you know, I just winged it. We showed up in Destin, Florida on a Monday because we'd already been in stopped in Mobile, Alabama for the weekend and hung out. And I thought, I mean, I wanted to go down Key West. So in Destin, Florida on Monday afternoon at 3:30, I said, you know what? I'm just going to run down there, get the picture, and then come back to Destin and hang out with my niece and her family for a few more days, and we'll come back to Texas. So I just took off, and I did research. I found some hosts along the way. I didn't contact anybody, and I thought, well, you know, if I just get in a dire situation, you know, hopefully if I contact somebody, somebody might be available. But, you know, I know people like to have advance notice, but I thought, you know, it kind of gave me a safety net. I felt comfortable just taking off and going. I thought, well, something happens, I'll see if I can find a host. And I just went for it. I was able to go straight through. Just stop for gas. I had to stop for gas, and that also allows me to stop and stretch and kind of get my bearings, and that helps a lot. Just by the time we stop for gas, about every 120, 140 miles, it helped me just keep going. You know, if I need to sit down and just close my eyes for a little bit and rest. But no, I just decided to go straight through, and I had BAB to fall back on if I need to.
So have you ever done a long trip on a upright sitting bike of any kind?
No, I haven't. I had a Kawasaki Vulcan before the ZX14, which is a cruiser, 1600cc. I've been a few hundred miles on that, but no, the ZX14 is it. The first long distance ride I've ever done was on that ZX14.
So how's your seating posture on it? Are you leaned over on your, you know, onto your stomach and your wrists, or are you able to sit up right on it?
Well, the way I explain it, if you're sitting in a chair, say you think of a position where you're sitting in a chair and everything's 90 degrees, feet to the floor, you know, knees bent 90 degrees and everything, and then just tilt that forward a little bit, about 15 degrees, and that's kind of where you're at. I'm 6'1", but yet the bike is comfortable, and, you know, I've ridden long enough. It's comfortable for me. It's not like, now if you look at the other sport bikes like the R1 and the ZX10, you know, the race bikes, those are extreme lean. You're basically laying on the tank almost, and your hands are down low, and those are extreme in positions for racing. The ZX14 is a little more relaxed. You're slightly forward. You are forward, and then your feet are back a little bit, but no, it's comfortable. And actually what's strange is when I had the Vulcan, it's more of an upright position. It caused more lower back problems than the ZX14 does.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes, because, you know, like I said, you're tilted forward, but everything's kind of in a natural sitting position and just kind of forward. So over time, you know, I can lift my hands off the handlebars at the throttle or either side. And if I need to stretch my leg, I'll take a leg off the foot peg and stretch it out. But for the most part, you know, I can run gas tank to the gas tank without stopping, except for the fuel. And I'd get off and just walk around, stretch then, and I'd be fine. And, you know, when I did this last year, I was 59 years old. I've had neck surgery. I had open heart surgery. And, you know, I've had, you know, so I'm not in the greatest physical shape. I'm in decent shape. But, you know, it caused no problems, no issues with my hands, my arms, my neck, or anything, my back.
That's interesting. I'd say that I actually wanted to talk about this thing because I've got the same opinion without evidence that they're uncomfortable bikes and long distancing on them would just be torture. But
right.
What you say definitely doesn't add up to my unfounded belief.
Yes, yes. Well, the visual definitely looks like it. But like I said, when you're sitting, just everything's 90 degrees and you just kind of tilt yourself forward, you know, your leg's not exactly 90 degrees, but just, it's weird. On the lower back, it's just like the weight of just leaning forward keeps your back, because on my Kawasaki Vulcan, I would literally, you know, I was looking at getting a backrest for my, you know, for the rider seat, because it just had me in an awkward situation. And I got, my son-in-law has a Harley, and I rode it some, and it's got you're like just straight up, almost trying to figure out how to lean back or forward a little bit just to keep your back. And so, yeah, it looks uncomfortable, but, you know, I get that all the time that, you know, it looks uncomfortable, but it's not. It was, you know, over time, you know, like I said, sometimes my hands, but I've had two neck surgeries. So part of that is from, I get the numbness in my hands every now and then from those issues, but, it's not uncomfortable. Now, over time, when I'm tired, a lot of that's just from being tired and your muscles are sore because, you know, I rode 30-something hours. That stuff sets in a little bit. But, you know, taking off and riding 500-600 miles starting off, I have no problems.
That's really cool. I hope that if anyone's considering traveling in a sports bike, your story will inspire them to give it a try. Because there is a lot of hate online, a lot of judgment when someone's like, I'm going to go do a cross-country trip on this sports bike, and we're all like, that's an awful bike. Where are you even going to put your luggage at?
Right, yes. And so, you know, when I took the trip, like I said, I haven't really camped and stuff, but I've done the minimum. I mean, I had a duffel bag, tank bag, and the tail bag just strapped on top of my duffel bag because I carry my tools. I have a tool set in the tail bag. I had some clothes and whatever I need, and I have my electronics up in the tank bag if I need for charging the phone and stuff. And stuff when I get to the gas stations, you know, I can quick some snacks or bottle water. So I set it up so that, you know, I'm not having to dig in the bags or anything. So, yeah, you know, does it look like a nice, you know, suitcase and all the boxes and stuff? No, you know, it's got this duffel bag with two orange straps, you know, wrapped around the seat or under the seat, but it holds fine. I mean, I've tested it out, you know, over 100 miles an hour a few times, just a little bit. Nothing falls off, nothing moves. And so, but yeah, if you think about it, you know, it's a little bit of planning, but, you know, I could easily, I've been looking at, you know, loading it up with a tent or sleeping bag and stuff like that for the camping. So, that's kind of what that ride was about, also going to Florida and back. It's like, you know, I want to do it more. I want to go out and long-distance ride, camp, and just live off of it. I'd like to go travel for a couple months one summer.
Where would you like to go?
Up in the Midwest, well, farther west, up Nevada, Utah, Idaho, up in there. I heard, and it's really pretty. I used to drive a truck for a living a long time ago, so I've been across country, and it's really, I mean, the whole country has pretty scenery. Different areas are just beautiful. You got up in Maine, in the fall weather, the leaves and stuff, just beautiful up there. But I mean, I want to go out west and, you know, the mountains, Idaho, Utah. I haven't really been up to Idaho, and I see a lot of nice video and pictures of the beautiful scenery up in that area, Washington. And so I would like to maybe ride up the Grand Canyon, you know, camp out, and then just kind of go up north from there.
If you do the Grand Canyon, I'd definitely recommend the North Rim, and you can camp in the Kaibab National Forest right outside of the park.
Okay.
That's definitely a good ride.
Is it? Really nice, scenic?
It is very nicely scenic. There's a lot of cool things to stop at. The really famous Horseshoe Bend these days is up that way. There's some historic bridges and there's monuments in the area, and then if you go into Utah, you could go north and east a bit and hit like Monument Valley and Moki Dug Way. Have you gone off-road with the bike?
No. Well, one time we were on a group ride here in Texas. We were going out for lunch, and we usually would go ride a couple hours away, eat lunch, and come back. And excuse me. So our lead rider just basically punched in the GPS, and we found ourselves going down a gravel road for about 3 or 4 miles. That was fun. And then a little dirt. I don't know which way he's going, but yeah, that's about the only time I've been off road. I've been on dirt and gravel a little bit, but not really full off road like you're talking back, you know, when y'all go out in the backlands. And, but yeah, I don't know if I would really take it from long distance off roads because it's, you know, weighs 600 pounds. So if I drop it, it's a pain to lift up.
I mean, it's not as bad as a Harley, but it's definitely more heavy than the mid-sized adventure bikes.
Yes. So,
I mean, if you go out west, you're more than likely, if you want to do the cool camping, you'll have to do some dirt and gravel, but the roads getting out to them, so long as you choose national forest roads that are decently maintained, they're not bad.
Okay, so they're kind of packed, what we call packed, well-traveled.
Yeah.
Not real loose and sandy.
Well, from what I understand, the National Forest Service has to maintain those roads for fires and other access. So those are, they're really not bad. I've taken them on a bunch. I used to, my first bike was a Victory Cross Country when I hit the road, and I took it off road, and I could do the roads out west. You're more likely to hit them if you go camping, but it's normally not more than a couple miles.
Okay. Well, I may have to try that then. Like I said, I've been off road a little bit, but yeah, I'd be comfortable on a packed dirt road that was pretty solid, and I've been on some gravel. Depends on, you know, if it's real loose. This one had a spot that was really loose gravel, and it was really tough. We were down to 20 miles an hour for about a mile trying to get to the right GPS point. But I'll have to try that out. I love sightseeing. I love traveling and seeing different areas of the country because I did that growing up as a kid. My dad was a truck driver, so I got to ride with him. So we got a beautiful country. There's some beautiful stuff in the country, areas in the country, scenery, lands, and so I'd like to see more of that.
I hope you get the chance to. Are you still working or are you retired?
I am semi-retired. Retired a couple of years ago. I work part-time right now, but I'm looking at getting to the point here, setting things up, paying some things off, getting situated where I'm done completely with work in about another year or two, and then I'm going to set up, you know, I'd like to get out and travel more on the bike.
I hope to see you out there.
Yeah, me too. I love what you do with the Bunker Biker and all the work you do, and I follow you, and I love seeing the stories and people's travels and, you know, when they stop in the places. And you know, like I said, when I went to Key West last year, it gave me a safety net. I said, you know, if I just fail at this trip at some point, I'll just start making some calls or even send some emails, and hopefully somebody can pick me up, give me a place to stay for the night. I did run through 4 thunderstorms on the way back, coming up the interstate there in Florida, mainland, and I decided to just ride through them because I didn't want to. If you wait for the thunderstorms to pass in Florida, you'll be sitting there forever. So, but Bunker Biker, it seems to be a great group of people, and I love the community and the stories, and I hope to get to use them soon.
I hope so, too. I also run another group called Minimalist Motorcycle Vagabonds and Campers. So if you ever get around to doing your big trip, I'd love to see you post daily on there what you're up to, your camps and all that.
Absolutely. I'm a member of that one, too, and so... Yeah, I just see that and I go, man, I got to do that. I may not do it full time, but I do want to take, excuse me, a couple months off and, you know, travel and do that. Just throw my duffel bag on my, you know, Ninja and just take off and go somewhere and just for a couple months or a summer or maybe longer. Just, you know, nice thing about Texas and some of these states south and west, the weather. In Texas, I never winterize my bike. I can ride all year long. There's maybe 3 or 4 weeks out of the whole year where I can't get the bike out because of extreme cold or rain or just icy conditions. But other than that, you know, there's a lot of good riding weather in the U.S.
Oh, definitely. And if you choose your times of the year when you're going certain places, you'll have a great time and always be able to get back home when you're ready to get off the road. But even a couple month trip changes people's lives. I always recommend at least a minimum of a month to give you that chance to go out and find your rhythm and get to say yes to the adventure, not be looking at your watch all the time about when you need to turn around.
Right, right. Because that's what ruins most trips, right? At some point, you got to look at the clock. Okay, I got to head back. It's like, you know, it kind of kills the adventure a little bit. It's still adventure getting back, but exactly. You know, a month, I would love to do that. Just not have to worry about the clock or getting back at any time. Just go and see what happens.
Say yes to adventure. You want to do this thing? Yeah, I want to do this thing. Or, hey, this road over here is really great. And you're like, oh, man, that has a whole day of riding. That's awesome. I have a whole month or 2 or 3.
Yes, it definitely. I definitely envy you folks that are out there. I see y'all traveling all the time. It's just, you know, just for those of us, you know, sitting, watching, dreaming about it soon or planning, just y'all keep doing it. And we love seeing the stories and hearing the stories.
Well, it's people like you that make it worth sharing. if no one liked it or all I got was the negative comments, which come often enough, it wouldn't be worth doing it. But getting to share with people that don't get to do it or dream about doing it, planning to do it, that's the fun of it. And then I get a chance to meet you guys. Oftentimes I'm coming through and someone's like, oh, I'm over here. Hell yeah. Meet up and hang out and get to share some stories for a bit before I continue on my way.
Absolutely. And I've been wanting to, I'm going to try one of these days to make one of those group gatherings you have. I just haven't been able to work in the schedule yet, but I said, I'm going to show up at one just want to meet people and talk. And, you know, about the negative stuff, I hate that when I see that you have to deal with that. It's like, you know, I've learned one thing in life that sometimes adults just, or kids that never grew up, sometimes you got to deal with that some just, you know, you do a lot of positive things, and it's sad you have to deal with the negative, but I think people should just sit back, take a deep breath, and go, you know what, people are just doing their lives. Just let people do their lives, and things don't work out for you. Just, you know, it is life. Just move on. You know, if they have a bad situation, you have to address the bad situations or something. I understand, but sometimes it seems like you spend a lot of time refereeing adults, which is pretty sad.
Yeah, I'm 30 years old, and I'm over here telling people who are 50 plus how to behave. Like, come on, guys.
That's sad. That is very sad.
But
you do a great job at it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's a joy. It's just occasionally those situations where I'm shaking my head, like, why do I have to deal with things like this?
Yes. You know, we're adults. We should be able to handle our own problems, so we shouldn't need a referee, but you do a good job. You know, if you got to throw a flag, you got to throw a flag.
Oh, thank you. Well, Jeff, it was really great talking with you. Is there anything else you'd like to say to anyone who may decide to go off on an adventure on their sports bike?
Hey, you don't know until you try it. And I would like to add this real quick, because when I bought the bike, I was 55, and I looked at it on the showroom floor for like 8 months. It sat there for 8 months, and I kept thinking physically I couldn't do it or may not. Finally, I made the decision. I said, look, dummy, buy the bike. Ride it for 2 weeks. If you can't physically, you know, handle it, then you just turn around, sell it, and get your money back. So I bought it, and I haven't looked back since. So just buy it, try it, and then make your decision. Don't make a decision on what you think might happen or what other people say. Just do it yourself, and then you'll know.
I couldn't say it better. I love that advice.
So, but yeah, so 54,000 miles. 5 years later, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to roll 150,000 on the thing if I can.
Oh, that would be awesome. You got to send me a picture of that odometer when you hit 100K.
I'll definitely do that.
All right, Jeff, thank you for chatting with me. I hope you have a great day.
Well, thank you, Z, and keep up the great work, and it's a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.